The word of God given to us today are Acts chapter 13 from verse 14 to 23. It is page 209 in the New Testament. Allow me to read the words. From Perga they went on to Pisidia and Antioch. On the Sabbath they entered the synagogue and sat down. After the reading from the law and the prophets, the synagogue rulers sent word to them, saying, "Brothers, if you have a message of encouragement for the people, please speak." Standing up, Paul motioned with his hand and said, "Men of Israel and you Gentiles who worship God, listen to me. The God of the people of Israel chose our fathers. He made the people prosper during their stay in Egypt. With mighty power, he led them out of that country. He endured their conduct for about 40 years in the desert. He overthrew seven nations in Canaan and gave their land to his people as their inheritance. All this took about 450 years. After this, God gave them judges until the time of Samuel the prophet. Then the people asked for a king, and he gave them Saul, son of Kish, of the tribe of Benjamin, who ruled 40 years. After removing Saul, he made David their king. He testified concerning him, 'I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. From this man's descendants, God has brought to Israel the Savior Jesus, as he promised.'" Amen. Today is Lunar New Year's Day, a traditional holiday for us Koreans. The meaningfulness of Lunar New Year's Day, which has been known to have been kept from long time ago since Silla Dynasty, is in remembering the good works and beneficence of our ancestors who allowed us to be here and to make love and unity among the living family members more firm upon greeting the first day of the new year. This name of this meaningful day, 설날, in Korean, which marks the first day of the Lunar New Year, is known to have originated from the Korean phrase unfamiliar day, or a day one is not used to. In other words, the New Year's Day is the unfamiliar day or the day one is not used to. New Year is an unknown, unfamiliar time. The New Year's Day marks the entrance into that unfamiliar time. The reason that our ancestors called the first day of the New Year at 설날, that means unfamiliar day, was to signify that one should greet the unknown, unfamiliar year with care. This is also the reason that our ancestors called the new year also as 신일, from the word 신, meaning to refrain from. In other words, a day in which one was to refrain from things and be careful. They are thought that in order for them to be joined to the unknown and unfamiliar time order of the new year, one had to have an attitude of refraining from things that one should refrain from and be careful of things that one should be careful of from the very first day of that year. There is a phrase known as beginning makes up one half. This is meant to emphasize how important is the mind and the attitude with which one starts something. There is no one who has lived the future. Future cannot be predicted. If man could live or predict the future, words such as sadness or misfortune wouldn't even have become a vocabulary used in this world. Because if it were possible to so live or predict the future, it would always be possible to prepare for it. The very fact that sadness and misfortune exist in men's lives attests to the impossibility of preliving or predicting the future. Therefore, to men, future is always an unknown time. We can pay, yet again, reverential respect to our ancestors' foresight which call the first day of the new year on which one enters the time order of unknown and unfamiliar time at 설날, that means an unfamiliar day, and who greeted the new day with an attitude of restraint and care. From such perspective, we cannot but thank God who has allowed us to greet the Lunar New Year's Day at this hour while offering our worship in midst of God's words. As confessed by the writer of Psalm, chapter 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. God will guide our steps in the right way by His words as we enter the unknown and unfamiliar time order in having greeted the Lunar New Year's Day. The content of verse 17 to 23 of today's text, which we began to examine last Sunday, consists of the introductory part of the sermon given by Apostle Paul at Pisidian Antioch's synagogue. The subject of the passage is God. God chose Israel as His people. He raised them up who were slaves to Egyptians and freed them from such slavery with His mighty power. And He endured their conduct in the wilderness for 40 years. He overthrew seven Canaan tribes and gave their land to Israel as their inheritance. In this way, during 450 years that took Israel people to settle in Canaan after the time of slavery in Egypt to the period of living in the wilderness, God did His all to fulfill His responsibility for His choice, for the Israelites He chose. That was not all. Let's look at verse 20. After this, God gave them judges until the time of Samuel the prophet. After He made the Israel people settle in Canaan, God gave them judges. Judges were not only responsible for judging between Israel people, but were also leaders that God raised up to save Israel people when they came upon a crisis. The time of judges continued for a period of about 350 years, and the last judge was the Samuel the prophet. The reason that the time of judges came to an end with Samuel, one of the greatest poets, was because Israelites demanded that God give them a king like their neighboring countries. Verse 21 to 22. Then the people asked for a king, and He gave them Saul, son of Kish, of the tribe of Benjamin, who ruled for 40 years. After removing Saul, He made David their king. He testified concerning him. On this Lunar New Year's Day, on which we enter the unknown and unfamiliar time order, we meet two characters who are completely contrary to each other in the text that God gives us today. They are Saul and David. The king that God gave to Israel people who demanded a king was Saul. But after 40 years, God removed Saul and made David as the new king. Saul was the initial king in Israel's history, and David was the second king, so to speak. Israel people came to be chosen through their ancestor Abraham. By God choosing Abraham as the forefather of faith, His descendants became God's chosen people. Therefore, Abram is a very important character who is mentioned without fail when the history of Israel is discussed. Many leaders such as Joseph, Moses, Joshua made their appearance during the 1,000-year period from the time of Abraham to the end of the period of the Judges. But today's text is silent in regards to them. It only refers to them in the collective as Israel people. Verse 20 mentions Samuel's name for the first time, but it's not for Samuel, but to let us know that God gave Saul and David to the Israel people who demanded a king. In other words, the name of Samuel is mentioned only as an auxiliary instrument for Saul and David's appearance. If so, then by this text, the singular mentions Saul and David's name while treating all others as anonymous beings for the 1,000 years of history that spans from Abraham to Samuel, we can discern the intent of the text that attempts to show the lives of these two men in contrast. It is not an ordinary thing for a person to become a king of a country. In particular, it is all the more extraordinary for a person to become the first king of a country. In the history of that country, there could be many kings, but there could be only one first king, no matter how many years go by. In the case of Israel, the first king, that could only be one during the entire past, present and future span of time was Saul. He was not a king chosen by Israel people through an election. He was raised up to be a king by a lottery through God. If he was raised up by God to be the first king of Israel, then there cannot be any doubt that he was a person endowed with special grace of God. But God removed him 40 years after he made him king. And David, who became the second king, was also a king raised up to be a king by God. The words of God concerning David are as follows. Second half of verse 22. I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. The word hurisko, translated as found, means discovered after examining. It means, as a jewel examiner looks carefully at many gemstones and finds a truly valuable one, God found David among numerous people. God also referred to David as a man I find to be pleasing, which in the original text means a man after my own heart. God found David among numerous people because David sought God's heart in all matters. David sought God's heart so much that God stated that he would accomplish his intentions through David.
(laughs)
Verse 23 shows what purpose God intended to achieve through David. From this man's descendants, God has brought to Israel the Savior Jesus as he promised. God intended to save mankind through David, and God's will was achieved by the coming of Jesus, a descendant of David. That is how much God found favor in David. Saul, who had been dethroned despite having been chosen by God to be the first king of Israel, and David, who found favor in God's eyes, so much that from David's descendant, Jesus was born, show us two contrasting lives in detail. If Saul represents our forefathers who were foolish, David represents our forefathers who were wise. 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 2 describes Saul, who God made the first king of Israel, as follows. Kish had a son named Saul, an impressive young boy without equal among the children of Israel, a head taller than any of the others. The word young boy is a translation of the Hebrew word bachur, which means young man, and the word impressive is translation of tov, which also means virtuous. Saul, who had suddenly appeared like a comet in Israel's history, not only possessed a handsome appearance, was also a virtuous person. He was also so tall that there was no one taller among the people of Israel. That is to say that there is no one more fitting to become the first king of Israel than Saul. However, Saul could not be seen at the scene where the first king of Israel was selected by lot. That is because Saul, who believed he was not worthy of such position, was in hiding. That is how humble young Saul had been. Upon becoming king, Saul did all he could as king by protecting the nation from foreign powers and establishing the necessary systems and laws. Problems arose, however, when he started to change after exercising his powers from his throne. He no longer was the humble man of his past. He began to believe in his throne and power more than God. By forgetting God, who had given him his throne and power, he became a foolish man who worshipped his throne and power more than God. This led to a terrible result. In his old age, Saul fought and was defeated by the Philistines. Even his trusted army was completely annihilated. The Philistines in victory pursued Saul and his three sons. In the end, all of Saul's three sons perished, and Saul himself was severely injured by an arrow shot by an assailant. Saul was about to be captured alive. There is nothing more disgraceful than a king being captured by the enemy. To avoid capture, Saul asked armor bearer who had been protecting him to slay Saul. The soldier, being afraid, however, could not slay his own king. So thus, in his haste, ended his life by throwing himself on his own sword. And after watching this, the armed soldier who was with Saul also killed himself. First Samuel chapter 31 verse 6 testifies as to the appalling scene of that day as follows. So Saul and his three sons and his armor bearer and all his men died together that same day. Thus ended the life of Saul, who sat on God's throne while ignoring God, who had made him king, with the end of his trusted army, three loving sons, and the armor bearer. And on the same day, his kingdom also came to an end. Misfortune also came upon Saul's other children and descendants who had survived that day. If Saul had been a wise king, he would have been succeeded by his children and descendants. However, Saul, who himself gave up his life, will be remembered as a foolish ancestor. That is not to say that David was more compassionate than Saul. In some sense, David was much more cunning and wicked. After becoming king, David violated Bathsheba, the wife of his loyal subject, Uriah. At that time, Uriah was in the battlefield fighting David's war. When Bathsheba became pregnant, David called Uriah back from the battlefield to Jerusalem. He did this so that Uriah would go to bed with his wife and think that Bathsheba was pregnant with his own child. However, when David's plan became unsuccessful due to Uriah's refusal to rest comfortably at home while war continued, David sends Uriah back to the battlefield and instructs his loyal subject Joab to send Uriah to his death. David thus committed murder without getting any blood on his own hands. David then calls Uriah into the palace and makes her his wife. Could there be anything more immoral and brutal than what David had done? David's sons, who had witnessed their father's conduct likewise, did not turn out well. Ammon, David's eldest son, raped Tamar, his half-sister. Absalom was Tamar's brother, in return killed Ammon once he had his chance. Soon thereafter, Absalom tried to take over his father's throne through a coup d'etat. David was caught by surprise and ran from his palace with his clothes aids only. After taking the palace, Absalom violates his father's concubines. It did not matter to Absalom. His father's concubines were old enough to be Absalom's mother. However, Absalom was killed when David's forces were able to regroup. Absalom had ousted his father from his palace, but it ends up being killed by his own father's army. In a word, there is no order in David's family. No matter how we look at it, David was no better than Saul, if not worse. But David, unlike Saul, sought God's heart, and thus his kingdom was succeeded by his children and descendants, and also becomes the lineage from which Jesus is born. There is only one reason this was possible. Although David was once a rebellious and brutal murderer, he was a man of faith who realized his faults afterwards and returned to God. David, who gained back and finally held fast to his faith, became a truly wise ancestor. Today, on the New Year's Day, when we enter the unfamiliar time order again, we get to realize a valuable lesson through the passage God has given us today. Everyone who is born in this world is born as somebody's child and descendants. However, one does not stay in that status for one's whole life. With time, one becomes somebody's parent, and after death, one becomes somebody's ancestor. Once the time comes, everyone is paid respect to as an ancestor. The only difference is what kind of ancestor one becomes. It is whether one becomes a foolish ancestor like Saul, with negative influence on the descendants, or a wise ancestor like David, with positive influence in the end, despite all his faults. The difference derives from the person's attitude towards life. Those who have full possession of the throne and power, but do not dread God-like soul, may enjoy wealth and prosperity in this world, but cannot become wise ancestors who place the lives of the descendants on truth.
Mm-hmm.
Those who do not have God in their lives may well waste their lives in worshiping and protecting what they have, and the legacy of their wasted lives becomes entirely the share of their descendants. On the contrary, those who once were rebellious and brutal murderers like David can become wise ancestors who stand as the milestone of truth as long as they return to God. This is because it's God and not man who establishes a household and family. Think about it. If we can become wise ancestors, putting up the lives of the descendants on righteousness through our wealth and prosperity, there is no one in a better position than Saul, who possessed all the world's wealth and prosperity in his hand. However, because of that very wealth and prosperity, Saul failed to become a wise ancestor. If we can become wise ancestors through human ethics and morality, David, who committed murder himself and observed his son's rape and murder, and even his own son's rebellion against him, at the death of his son by his devoted retainer, falls far behind the qualification of being a wise ancestor. However, by returning to God, not only David's throne was succeeded by his son and descendants, but also he became a wise ancestor, the ancestor of Jesus Christ in God's genealogical table. As such, we come to bear a big hope beyond description through today's text. It is the hope that even though we may be rebellious and brutal human beings like David, and our families are broken like that of David's, parents and children, brothers and sisters fighting like enemies, as long as we are God truly and follow the words of God, God will establish our family in His own way, and in the end, we will be raised as wise and faithful ancestors as well. We're now greeting the New Year's Day and are newly entering the familiar time order. Let us in no case become foolish soul, believing ourselves and our possessions more than God. Let us be wise, David, and regard the words of God as the lamp and the light of our steps. On this unfamiliar New Year's Day, when we enter the unknown time order, let us not forget God's message in contrasting Saul and David through today's text.
먼 훗날 우리가 지혜로운 조상으로 기려지는 조건은
The condition for us to be applauded as faithful ancestors is not the worldly things we possess, but only our faith and attitude towards God.
한 인간의 인생과 가정을 세우시는 분도 배우시는 분도 오직
It is only God who establishes and abolishes one's family and household. Let us pray. Father God, you have given us the national holiday of the New Year's Day to applaud the beneficence of our ancestors who did not refuse to take pains and sacrifice even in the days of shackles for our sake. Father God, thank you for having us realize that we do not only applaud the beneficence of our ancestors on this New Year's Day, but one day we will also become the ancestors of our descendants who will be applauded. Thank you for spurring us to become David in any case, the symbol of wise ancestor instead of Saul, the symbol of foolish ancestor through today's text, contrasting the lives of Saul and David. Let us not forget that when we trust our wealth and prosperity more than God, we cannot but become foolish soul by the very wealth and prosperity we enjoy now, who will destroy our lives and those of our descendants at the same time. Now, as we greet the New Year's Day, we all step forward into the unknown and unfamiliar time order. We step forward our first steps with the belief, trusting only God, who is the only builder of our lives and families. We step forward our first steps, relying on the words of God, who is the only light of our walk. Although we may now be rebellious and brutal like David, who took one's wife and incited to kill her husband, we believe that God will cure and recover our lives with your words. We also believe that although our families may now be broken like that of David's, parents and children fighting, sisters and brothers being enemies, God will rebuild our families on truth with your light. May this unfamiliar time order we newly enter now be knitted together into familiar time of truth in your words, so that later on let us be applauded as wise ancestors who are sufficient in the mind of God. Help us live our lives remembering anytime, anywhere, that God is the only one who establishes and abolishes our lives. In Jesus' name we pray.